So we're going to pick up on when you pray, because when you pray, it's powerful on so many levels. And so many of you, even right after this message, was saying how much you received. And this was a great opportunity for me as well. One of the things we talked about was, it's not our concern. It's not our problem, but we are God's concern. God takes care of us. He wants to take care of us. Talked about not doing things for attention of men. We talked about doing things for God, and letting God bring you the attention that needs to come your way. And even in that, I've been, like I said, it's a thing you got to pray through, because your mind goes, but I'm supposed to do things, God, to bring glory to you. And God, has been saying to me over and over again, that's nice, but you really think I need your help? Like, I got angels that are around my throne, hundreds of thousands of angels bowed all day. Like, I'm good. It's for you, as they understand, it's for them. Natural mind doesn't understand spiritual things, but God asks us to praise Him for us. I've seen somebody online recently, and they were bashing God, and I guess atheists or whatever they are, saying, you serve this insecure God who needs to be blah, 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 blah. And they're on and on and on with their intellectual perspective. And I said, God, that's an interesting question. That didn't make me question God, but it made me say, how do you answer that? What's the answer to that? Saying you're this insecure God that always want to be praised all the time, and you get upset when you don't get it. Like, what is that? And as I sat quietly, he began to show me something. He said, praise is not a need of mine. Praise is a need of yours. Praise to me is a connection. It's not a need you're filling. In other words, you don't need electricity. And just don't pay your bill and turn your lights off. You live, but you live in darkness. You stumble around, you bump into things. You might fall down and break things. If you try to use a saw or a drill, you might kill yourself. You understand what I'm saying? He said, no, it's fine. You don't have to do it, but it's a severed connection. He said, praise flows through me to you, from you to me. It's a reciprocal connection. What do you mean reciprocal connection? Doesn't he praise you? Doesn't he tell you he loves you? Doesn't he show you and continue to build confidence in you? The one who goes the other way is the enemy. Satan is the accuser, brother, who constantly throws up in your life what you're not worth. God is always telling you how beautiful you are, the apple of his eye, and all these wonderful things. He said, this is not a one-way transaction. And when you're not connected, you lose power. Come on, hear what I just said. That was bars. I don't know if you're caught that yet. When you're not connected to praise, your power supply is going to drain out. You think that's wrong? Don't put your phone on the charger for a couple of days, maybe even a straight day, and pick it up tomorrow and see how it's doing. It's not going to work. That's a reciprocal. It's a recharging that you get. Watch this. Listen close. I'm about to teach you something where you do praise. Are you listening? You take the emphasis and onus off yourself and you put it on someone greater than you to take care of something. Praise is the opposite of fear, if you think about it, because praise means you have faith in the one you're praising. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So no, he's not insecure, needing you to say, I love you, so he could be all right with himself. That's not the case. The case is he's saying that's a connection. I speak blessing over you all the time. I call you great when you don't call yourself great. I speak life over you when you speak death over yourself. I call you a mighty man of valor, a mighty woman of valor when you're looking at all the things that you think is wrong with you. I'm constantly feeding you with the energy of praise, and you reciprocate, and it's an ongoing relationship that goes to and fro, to and fro. I hope that helps because it helped me a lot. I said, so praise is my connection. That keeps me charged up. Now, answer my question. Tell me if I'm wrong without even hearing this, just thinking down about your life. When you're not in praise and when you focus on it, don't you feel weak? Don't you feel drained? When you get alone with God and say, I'm going to put all this stuff I'm worried about aside, and I'm just going to take this time right now, and I'm just going to praise and worship God regardless of what's around me, what happens? Don't you come out all of a sudden feeling like you could run through a troop and leap over a wall? You could take Goliath's head off? It's a reciprocal recharge. It's something that's necessary for us to stay connected with the one we love. Come on, you do that with your own kids. Your own students, your own nieces and nephews, whatever. You pour and pour and pour love into them, and then they get old enough where they stop calling you like they used to. How that feel? You don't feel so good, does it? The chain is broken. The love you've been pouring out, you still got to pour out, but they're not there to reciprocate, receive, and put back to you. And what happens as a result of that? The saying we say in the natural, the relationship is strained. Is different. Not the same when you see them. You see them, they used to give you this big hug and be so happy to see you, run up to you and dive on you. Now you see them there, hey, how you doing? That's it. And you say that, that's it. Oh, no. Hey, you moving on to the next niece and nephew or whatever, whoever is showing you. You follow what I'm saying? You moving on because that relationship is necessary. God don't need us because he's insecure. That is the crux of our relationship. So I want to say that. So back to when we pray, because we talked about extensively how when we pray, God wants to exalt us in front of people. He wants to you know, put us on a cattle on a thousand hill, all that stuff. He said, but you don't do it for men. So here's the problem with the bling bling thing. So, you know, they reposted the video where I talked about how rich people a lot of times were dressed like they poor and poor people just like, and somebody got in my DM or in my comments and decided to check me, which I love actually. And he said, some people buy $600 million jets. They not flossing, and he's going on and on. First of all, I don't know how much you think you're gonna pay for a jet, but anyway, you think you're gonna get a $1 million jet? They don't exist. But here's my point. I said, is that flossing? If they're worth $6 billion, flossing is buying stuff that you really can't afford just to give people the impression that you have what you don't have. I said that, so it's not the same. So then he kind of came back. So people could buy what they can afford and blah, 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 blah. And so I said, okay, you know, and he said, that's what the point I was trying to make. And I said, and you made your point. And so and then he came and gave him a thumbs up. So then he came back and said, but like people have tax write-offs and benefits and all that, which I had just said in the paragraph before. And I said, so now you're making my point. But anyway. People buy what they can afford. And he gave me the eye roll emoji. And I said, it's interesting. Because Warren Buffett buys his clothes from Walmart and eats breakfast at McDonald's almost every day. One of the richest men in the world. They say he still lives in the house that he had before he became rich in the neighborhood that he used to live in. And it's all his friends, the old men, his old friends that when he was forever around. Yeah, I don't have a problem with you buying what you can afford, and neither does God. You see how he blessed Solomon. You see how he blessed Abraham. Key statement. He blessed. Now, you heard what I just said, right? Abraham came from a wealthy family. God had him leave him. Why? He had an inheritance. Leave them. Why? Because I'm going to bless you. Joseph came from an inheritance. What did God do? Why? Because I'm going to do it. You're not going to be able to say it was handed down from your father and your grandfather and whatever. I'm going to do it. Now, there's some difficulties that went with those situations. And I won't try to break those all down and read into all of those, but here's what I will say. David came from wealth, separated. I'm going to do it. If you're one of the people that believe God has his finger on you saying, I'm going to do it, are you listening? Then there may be some separation. There may be some disconnect. I'm not saying it will be, but if I'm telling the truth and you're hearing what I'm saying, you're already experiencing what I'm talking about and probably have most of your cotton picking life. You're the odd one. You're the weird one. You're the one that just don't seem to fit in. You're the one that always off with these weird ideas and these crazy dreams all off in there. Here we go with you and your, right? You have a different path than everybody in your family. If you have that finger on you, you're going to automatically be the oddity. Look at all the stories in the Bible, even Paul, greatly accomplished. Paul may have had the equivalent of five doctorates. He was that dude to be brought down to a street preacher, standing on the side of the street corners with a megaphone. It's crazy. God has blessed me in my life, and I have accomplished things, and you know that. I'm standing in a farmer's market selling bottles of oil and cookies with Nellie. I just want you to get this. She never probably thought about it, but there was a part of my pride that was like, I ain't standing out here selling up cookies. There was a part of my pride that was like, yo, you want me to open the back of the trunk of my car while she stands there and sells cookies to people at the skating rink? Yo, like this is, and I had to say, but isn't that the way it goes? You got to put all that pride and all of that opinion and all that feeling aside, and you just commit to the task that you're called to. And that is a form of praise to God. People that always need to be seen, as we read last week, you have your reward. There is no reward. Everybody praised you, everybody liked you, everybody told you, nya, 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 nya. Usually in front of your face, though. If you know what I know, the people that are always butt kissing, they say that in front of your face. As soon as you walk away, they say, B. You know what I'm saying. As soon as you walk away, they got something to say about you, right? But in front of your face, because that's man's praise. And how long does it last? As long as you're in their presence. But God's praise, when God speaks well of you, it has eternal value and it spreads and follows you everywhere you go. So, who's with me? I want God's praise. Man, praise, I'm saying every day, God, let that mean less and less and less to me till it means absolutely nothing. I'm standing out here at the skating ring where they know I'm successful and I'm selling cookies out the back of a car. And I said, and I'm proud of it. And when we got there this Saturday, when we were going, I said, Nelly, we got to break that poverty chain. Or that limitation chain where you believe, well, 10 bottles is usually what we do is slow. No, we're believing for 20 and up. That's what we do. And here's what Nelly left out when she shared the story. Not only is this the quote unquote slow season, and I confess, well, yeah, I forgot his name, sold in the drought and he still received the harvest, right? I said, no, we are going to receive above what we're supposed to receive. And here's what she left out. It was raining. It started raining. People deserted. And so the place wasn't even full all day. So it wasn't not only just slow season, we were getting rain and people weren't coming out. And we still did what we asked God and believed God for. So I want you to understand that. That's praise to him. Praise is not just putting on music and jumping around the room and singing. Praise is giving. What I'm about to say is so from my heart, and I want you to hear it. Praise is about giving God the opportunity to show that he is God. Who bore witness with that? Praise is about giving God the opportunity to show that he is God. It is. That's praise. There's no higher praise than that. God, I believe you. I trust you. I trust you to make it work where it normally would not work. I trust you. When I don't want to go all into the surgery thing, but when they was pulling that, getting all those needles, and my mouth still wouldn't go numb, and they're pulling and yanking it too, and I can feel every bit of the pain, and I'm trying to handle it the best I can. I really am. They were really impressed. And then I just sat up. They said, "We'll give you a break," because my whole body was trembling. She said, "I can't keep going." She said, "Let me give you a break." And they left the room, and I text Nellie, and I said, "This really hurts." And I called her, she answered the phone. She said, "God just told me to start praying for you." So she started praying. And let me just tell you this. It's good to have people around you. Please stop being lone rangers that will pray and touch and agree with you. You just don't understand how important that is. Nellie has this way of praying that I don't approach at all. It's circular, it's flowery. It's hers. Okay. Dr. Brown has a way of praying. That's her own. And she says, "Father God," and "Father God." But these people, this is their connection. This is the way they react. They respond and work with God, and God works with them from that way. You follow what I'm saying? So Nellie started praying. I just pray that the tooth just falls out and there'd be no more pain. And she's speaking this stuff that my mind is going, really, the tooth just going to just slide and just fall out of my mouth. Okay. But it's like, let her do what she do. I would never said that. You know what I'm saying? But that was her prayer. It's going to be easy. It's going to fall out. And there's going to be no pain. And we went back, and they gave me antibiotics first to take again. And then they started pulling. And boy, that pain again hit. And they went a little bit, and then they stopped. And I was breathing. And she said, "I don't want to keep putting, this stuff up in him." And I said, "God, I know you're real." That was all I said. And what I meant was, what she prayed, "I know you're real, God. I know you can do this." And then she said, the dentist said, "Let me try one more time." And she took the needle and she started poking in there. "Do you feel anything? No. Feel anything? No. Feel anything? No. Feel anything? Oh, I felt a little something right there. Right there? Yeah. What about there? No. Right there? Yeah." And then she put it right wherever that was. And she did it and she said, "Give me a minute." Then she said, "Okay, let's go again." And I felt this peace come over me. And then she reached up in there. And next thing I know, like, I felt some scratching and whatever was going on. And she said, "Oh, the tooth is out. I'm just cleaning out the inside." I didn't even, like Nelly said, it just came out and I feel squat. And I said, "God," because you did say, "Guide the hand of the dentist and let them have care." And I said, "Oh, they're being very careful with me." But here was what was powerful, what spoke to me that might not speak to anybody else. I was trying, and we would go back in. Like I said, it took like 20, 25, 20, 20 minutes to get that tooth out. I was in pain. I kept trying to hold it and hold it until I could take no more, right? And let them stop and go again. I didn't see anything about it, but we got to get the tooth out. When it was done, she and the assistant looked at me and said, "You are so brave. Probably one of the bravest patients we ever had." And I said, "Well, we prayed." I told her, me and my fiance, we prayed. Now, I didn't think of that as bravery because I was crying like a little girl. I was crying. I mean, it was hurting. I was crying tears, but like I said, I was in pain. But they saw, not me trying to act brave to give them the impression I was brave. Come on, here where I'm going. They saw bravery on me that I didn't even think would be considered bravery. I just tried to take a stand with the God I trust and believe. I wasn't trying to show off for them. Now, the whole time since I left there, I kept saying, God, she called me brave. Nobody ever called me that before. She called me brave. You know, and the way she said it, like the look on her face. And God said, because that's how I see you. I've always seen you like that. You just didn't see it in yourself. A lot of you sitting right down here with me right now, you are some brave souls. You are some brave soldiers. You step out. You take chances. You take steps. You go and take on things where everybody tells you no, you can't. You go and you put your hand to the plow and you don't look back. And that, my dear sons and daughters, is bravery. That the how many people in the world you know around you is willing to do what you're doing. Now I'm asking for, demanding on God's behalf, some silence in that bravery. Just stillness enough to know what you're called to do and do it with peace. You don't have to tell everybody what you're doing, what you believe God set you. And I don't care if it's family. You don't have to tell everybody. Just let you and God have this conversation. Let them see it. But let you, are you listening to me? Everybody don't need to know. I didn't think I was being brave. I just was trying to trust God. So now, let's get to our scripture for today. Now, I don't want to go through all the points, but we covered the points. But it was one point that I made that I described an error that I want to fix. So we said, when you pray, be careful, verse 1, not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do this, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And we took that very seriously. No reward from your Father in heaven. And I'm going to go quickly for this because I'm being mindful of time. All right. So he says you have no reward. And so we said we don't want to ever put ourselves in a place where we have no reward. That's a powerful statement. I want you to understand that one more time. That if you do it to be seen for men, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Somebody say no reward. Say, we don't receive that. We don't receive the no reward. We don't. So he said, don't do that. He said, and when you give to the needy, don't announce it with a trumpet, you know, because he said, when you do that, that's acting as a hypocrite's do. And we went through that. So his definition of a hypocrite is people who do things like that to be seen. It means it's not, their heart's not pure before God about it. Doesn't mean that. The other definition that people say, well, you know, you act like this in front of people, but you don't act like this, you know, in your private, doesn't make you a hypocrite also. But God, Jesus right now, who's talking's definition is this. The definition of a hypocrite is people who do things to be honored and seen by men. That's Jesus said that right there. You have it. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that so that your giving may be in secret. And then your Father who sees you, what's done in secret, will reward you. And the Amplified says, reward you openly, right? So again, the praise, the attention, the success coming to you is what? What you're doing privately before God, what you're doing in your prayer closet, as they call it, what you're doing in your own time, and just to please and to be right before God. And then God blesses you. Now, I'm going to go on this little side journey here for a minute, and I'm not going to stay on it because I don't want to meddle too much. But that's why I will never stay in the church that has people come up and say, I want everybody who has $50, and I want anybody who got a $20 gift, and anybody, God is telling me there's some of you in here got $5,000 you need to do. I don't want to have anything to do with that hypocrisy. I just don't. I don't. Because that's supposed to be your gift before God. And you're not supposed to be telling people to the ones with the big money come first so that it makes them look better and they get to come up. See, I put $5,000 in. That's some bull crap. I remember one time I was in the service and God put it on my heart to give $5,000 to this pastor who was on the stage. I didn't go up on no line. I didn't do anything. I waited for them to come off the stage and I caught them in the corner. I said, God told me to give you $5,000. She grabbed the check, ran back to the mic and said, this brother right here. And as she did it, I sunk into the corner. It's like, and nobody asked for all of that, right? Nobody asked for all of that. I did what I was led to do. Just don't go on somewhere with all that. I'm not, no, I don't need that. So my point is, that's supposed to be your private thing between you and God. I am not being a part of that. I don't want to be a part of that. I just want to bring that up. I'm off the my little ride right there. When you pray, do it quietly. Don't be like the hypocrites who like to play standing in the middle of the synagogue. The person who got to stand up in the middle of the church and do the long prayer that goes on for 45 minutes, right? You know, make sure people hear my prayer. He said, or on the street corners to be seen by others. I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is unseen or in secret. And your Father who sees what you is doing, what is done in secret, will reward you again openly. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard by their many words. I'm going to say this again and again and again. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, idol worshipers. When you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father in heaven knows your need before you ask him. How do I bring this home? I know you've been taught in church that is a whole bunch involved with praying and long prayer and drawn out prayer and what they're calling prayer, right? The scripture says, don't do that. God, okay, I said this last week and I'll say it again. Jesus brought a man from the dead with two sentences. God, I thank you that you've heard me. Lazarus, come forth. He didn't get on his face. Come on, we all got to get together. We got to have a prayer circle. Or bring the oil. We're going to anoint the body. Oh, God. No, he said, listen. They said, when we're going to roll the stone, he said, oh, he's going to stink already. Yeah, whatever. I'm sure it did. Whatever the case. I thank you, God, that you've heard me. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. I don't know about you, but I want my prayers to work like that. So I asked a question, and I've taught this before. Well, what do you mean when I think that you've heard me? You didn't say anything. When did you hear me? Well, on that four-day journey that it took him to get back from where he was to there, after the curing the woman with the issue of blood, they said he stayed for another 3 days, then he headed. I don't know how long the walk was after that. It could have been 4 or 5 days. He said, I thank you that you heard me. Well, when did he hear him? During whatever conversation he was having with him and God on his way to Lazarus. I promise you, because it's not in scripture, he wasn't walking down the road saying, we're going to heal Lazarus, we're going to heal Lazarus, and raise him from the dead. I promise you, he wasn't doing that. I promise you, there wasn't this whole big praise and worship dance going on with him, with the people. First of all, they ain't never seen nobody get raised from the dead, so they probably would have been able to sing those words anyway. My point is, he and God, his Father, had this conversation, this understanding, an agreement. He said to the people, he'll live. Oh yeah, he'll live in the resurrection. No, he's gonna live. Yeah, well, you know, okay. He said, yeah, enough of y'all. Let's just go. Now, we did the whole Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. If you want all the details on this, go to last week's message. I think you should. And hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You give us each day our daily bread. You forgive us our debts And we also forgive those who trespass or debt against us. You don't lead us into temptation, but you deliver us from the evil one. So that whole God put you through this to teach you something, with many scriptures, of course, that I've shared that debunks that. This is another one that debunks that. You don't lead us into temptation. You deliver us from evil. Okay, and he said, for if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you will not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. God has shown me this and too many times now for me in Mark 11, 24. He said, when you speak to the mountain, say, be thou removed. But if you have ought against any, forgive them if you want your Father to bless you. So what's that? Well, again, back to what we talked about in the beginning. It's a reciprocal thing, and that comes through worship. You can't forgive people with willpower. It's not possible. I promise you right now, I'm sure you tried, can't. That comes from worship. That comes from spending time with God and worship and letting him minister to you while you minister to him and while you minister to each other, your heart lets go of the earthly tethers or the things that hold you down. Did you hear what I just said? Because all that unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and fear and all that's earthly stuff. And while you spend time talking to the Father, not with a lot of words like he said, but just in time and presence and worship. Nellie and I were having prayer the other day, and I said, Nellie, I'm gonna teach you something that I do. I said, if you want to hear, she said, yeah. I said, I just want you to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth and just like let peace flow to you and let God move like that and just don't say anything. And she did. And it was our first time for her, and she was like, wow. I said, because the atmosphere is not cluttered with, oh, we need this, and I believe I could pay the bill, and we're just claiming healing for the body, and all this earthly stuff that keeps our minds so preoccupied that we can't hear God. Do you hear what I just said? I need some time where I can't hear anything but God and none of that other stuff. I'll say that one more time. I need some time that I can only hear God and not. I don't need to keep telling God what my situation is. He knows. The scripture said right here, he knows what we pray before. He knows before we ask. He knows what we have need of. So now I want to go. And again, if you want more detail on that, you can go to back to the message because I covered that. But now we're going to go to Philippians. And I want to go here because this is a very important place to close this up. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse 6. This so marries well with what we just read. It is like a perfect partner and blend to what we just read. So here we go. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, going with what we just did, this will help this one make more sense. Don't be anxious, but in every situation, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request known. I covered prayer and supplication, making your request known, but I left out thanksgiving. He said, don't worry about anything, but through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. So that's the one I left out last week, and I want to cover that because that's huge. So here we go. He said, don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Stop. So it's threefold. And I want to make sure I cover all threefold, like the Trinity. Prayer, supplication, or the way it translates it in the NIV, petition. Thanksgiving. You got it? That means petition or supplication is not considered prayer. It's different, right? You reading it? By prayer and supplication or petition with thanksgiving. So then what is prayer? Because supplication is telling God your issues and putting your requests before him and petition him to fix this and heal that and heal my kid and help me get a better job and whatever your petition is. So then what is prayer?
Speaking God's words back to him.
Okay, I like that. I'm gonna stop you. I want somebody to give me more definition than that. That's not wrong, but I want that explained a little bit deeper.
Praising God and letting Him know that we love Him and just praising Him.
Okay.
It's listening. You're spending that quality time, that quiet time, and you're listening to what He's saying. So it's more of a listening.
Okay.
Well, from what I recall, you've taught us prayer is inclusive of repeating God's word, speaking His word, what the Bible says, back to Him, declaring it, reminding Him of His word.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. What you said, Lindsay Celine, what Esther said, what Cameron said, listening. I want you to understand this clearly, what you just said. That's before supplication. To prayer, you know when you're getting, you'll go straight to the supplication. Let's stop the beat. You'll know. As soon as you get in, God, I got this problem, I got this bill, I got this. You'll know that that's not how you come in. You're coming hot with the issues, hot with the news, straight off the press, God, because you ain't been watching. So let me tell you what I'm going through. But it's prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Come on now. So what you all said was right, but I want you to understand something about what you just said that you may have missed that I said in the very beginning of this message. That's worship. Reading his word back to him, being thankful, praising him for what he's done. You didn't even get to your supplication yet. You ain't get to your problems yet. You thanking him for what he did, and you're reading his word back to him before you even got to whining. I just want to make sure we understand that. And then Cameron said, and then being quiet and hear what he got to say before you said what you got to say. How much supplication you think you're going to do if you do that first? Very little. If you come in first, hot and heavy, with the worship, with the reading the word back, with the being thankful and shutting your mouth and being quiet, when it's supplication time, what you think you're going to say? Oh, and by the way, God, you see that right there? You got that. Thank you. I'm trying to help you. I hope I'm helping you. I'm trying to help you, right? And then the third one, Thanksgiving. Well, then that's just natural now. You don't spend time in his presence. You don't worship. You don't heard his word. You don't let him spoke to you. You already threw your mess at his feet now, knowing already that you exalted him first. Knowing already that you exalted him first. Knowing already that you exalted him first. Then you said, okay, now look at these problems. Now, in the book of Acts, where they captured, I think it was two of the disciples, they whipped them, they beat them. And they went, send disciples back and told them, send them back to their people and told them, now you'll stop this Jesus preaching stuff. And the scripture said, and they got together and they, and I'm going to find it for you for next week. And they brought together the believers, the disciples, and they said, listen, you are God of heaven and earth. You made this. It talked about Christ, talked about everything it said. And they went on and said, and now, and behold, they're threatening God after they talked about all God's power. And behold, they're threatening to come and beat us all up. And the scripture said, and the rooms was shaking, and they went forth and they tore that town up with the gospel, because they said, yeah, we're gonna bring up what they said, but we're gonna first talk about who you are and what you do. Now, God, you see that? And all they said about the threats to kill them and hurt them was, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. You're bigger than heaven and earth. You're God of everything. You heard what those people said? Do you, God? And God said, say less. New Negro translation. My point is, this is how it works. This is how it works. So don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Got it? We got the order. And the peace of God, which transcends your understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. All the worry and all that stuff will go away because your heart and mind will be guarded by the peace of God. If you follow this instruction I've given you, prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Some days it's just so rough. I know, but I'm gonna go with what Mike Tyson said. Screw your motivation. It's about commitment. If you committed to it, he said, you do that which you hate to do like you love it. Nobody cares about how you feel about it. Just do it. Just do it. Okay? A little check on ding. All right. But my point is, just do it anyway. He said, and the peace that transcends, it goes beyond your ability to understand. How many of you would like some peace that transcends your understanding? Some peace that goes so far beyond your ability to understand it that it's just like, he said, this is how you get it, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. It's right there. He's telling you how to do it. Will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It will protect you. We spend so much time trying to protect ourselves. I spend so much of my life trying to protect myself, trying to guard my own heart from other people and save myself from other people's mouth. And I spend so much time trying to defend myself and arguing. And I don't care now what people think. I don't care what people say. I don't care about what people feel. I don't care. I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean that in a, I've cast my cares on him. I let him care for it. I ain't got no time for that. I'm getting older. I ain't got time for that. That make your body sick. All that worrying and stuff, then all that, you know, anxiety and stuff will make your body physically sick. That's why I keep looking like I'm getting younger and people around me look like they're getting older. Because you're walking around carrying all that stuff in your spirit and it's killing you from the inside out. I'm not doing that. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not doing that. I heard recently somebody said something about me, and I was like, okay, so how did they feel when they said it? Did it look like it helped them? No. Did it make you feel good hearing it? No. I said, so then what you bringing it to me for? I don't want to hear that crap. And my flesh wanted to say something. I was like, this don't affect my spiritual life in one way. It don't affect my walk with God in one way. When I went before God, God didn't say, let me tell you what I think about what he said. It never came up in the conversation. You are God's baby. Come on now. Let me bring this home. I know I said for time, but I know. Come on, let's bring it home. Finally, and I love to read this part because after all that he told you to do and how to pray, he said, let's bring it home. Ready? I'm not even going to elaborate on this. I'm just going to read it. So don't be anxious. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known. A peace that you can't even understand, that goes beyond your ability to understand, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, that don't mean whatever's true in the world. That means true in God and true in the word. Whatever is noble, whatever is right before God, just keep this in mind, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Turn off the news. Stop scrolling through the negative stuff. Stop spending all your time talking about what Trump said and what he did and what the Republicans said and the Democrats said and the, he said, don't think on those things. He said, finally, whatever is lovely and admirable, if it's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. He's talking about when you pray, mindset, change your mind. You know why you come before God and you do a dump? Literally a poop dump in your prayer time? Because you're not thinking about these things. You're thinking about all that other stuff, and you got to cleanse out and puke out and vomit out all the junk before you can even get to worship. Kill that mess. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me and seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. That's it. That's it. Let's not make it complicated. Okay, now let's do a 15-hour fast and let's just or just shout to the. He just told you what to do right here. And if he leads you to fast, fast. But you can fast all you want and still be filled with poop and mess. This is how you clean out. This is how you clean out. This is your spiritual laxative right here. Right here. I've been on a fast. No, not no Daniel, none of that. This right here. I've been this fast. Fasting out my spirit and my mind. Getting all that mess and stuff up out of me. What's the sense of doing all the other stuff? Jesus, it's not what goes in your mouth that defiles you, it's what comes out of it. I've been fasting with this. I pray that you join me. May the word that you heard be God's blessings to you.